Pray with me. God, would you be with us as we attend to your word for just a few moments? As Todd encouraged us, let it be that path of truth for us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I like to give us a roadmap, kind of where we've been, and I know the Scouts, this is the first time, but this is kind of our fourth message in a series, and we're really talking about aligning our hearts with God. And over the last 3 weeks, we have been challenged. God challenged us 3 weeks ago to the fact that we can become very comfortable with known sin in our lives. And that can be a real problem. Charlie, over the last 2 weeks, has given us really an impassioned call to be honest with God. And then using the sacrifices of the Old Testament last week, Charlie. I guess I have Charlie and Carla on the brain, you know, right now. Charlie reminded us about giving our all to God, aligning our hearts with God. I want to put up the Scout law that Todd mentioned. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Now, if you think about those for a moment, they spring from an attitude of the heart. There's an attitude that undergirds those kind of life characteristics. The key word for this morning is the single word, attitude. Two people can encounter similar difficulties or successes, but how they handle those difficulties or successes in large measure will grow out of the attitude that's been molded into their lives. We've all seen people when a problem comes and they dissolve into whining. Now, you have to understand, that's a particular issue for me. I don't do whining well. Never have. I don't suffer whining very well. In our earliest dating days, Susan and I, she went to a closet in her college apartment. It was one of those kind of Fibber McGee closets to grab a suitcase, and the suitcase fell from the top shelf and hit her right in the head. And she's like, "Whoa!" And I said, "Don't whine." I really did. And she knew she was in trouble then. She had a lot of molding to do in my life. You know, but humor aside, attitude plays a huge part in our lives. We've all seen people who have tremendous successes and it like just blows up their head and they become impossible to be around. But yet we've seen others who have tremendous successes and yet they can still relate with everyone else. Attitude is key. I want us to open, we're going to open the Old Testament and we're going to see a negative example of attitude first. And before we go to the text, just to set the background, this is the children of Israel, the people of Israel, and they have been liberated from Egypt. Remember, they were in Egypt, they were being, you know, put down as slaves, they were being oppressed, they were crying out to God. 400 years they cried out to God because Egypt was just putting the screws to them. They were slaves. And God frees them in what's called the Exodus. And they're led out of Egypt and away from their torturers. And not only do they get to walk away from that, but God says, as you're leaving, I want you to ask the people for all these kinds of things, silver and gold and clothing and all sorts of stuff. And God says, I'll make their hearts disposed to give it to you. And so we're told as they're marching out of Egypt, that the Egyptians were favorably disposed to this people, and they gave them everything they asked for. And their own record says they plundered Egypt. So they are not just leaving Egypt, they are leaving, you know, like with a whole bunch of goodies that they're taking with them. Flocks and silver and gold and clothing. And then they, you know, go through the Red Sea, and we all know that story. And if you haven't, you know, seen the old movie, you know, it's an amazing sight. Imagine walking through a body of water where there are walls of water on either side of you, yet you walk on dry land. That's the miracle they experienced. And then after they get through that amazing encounter of going through the Red Sea, we come to the next story in their adventure to Israel. The very next account in Scripture says this: Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. So they are 3 days away from this miracle of walking through this wall of water and then watching the water collapse on their enemies. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter, poisonous. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" And if you noticed, I put the word in big letters. They grumbled against Moses. They grumbled against God. This is the first moment of adversity. They are 3 days away from an incredible miracle. Would they think of asking God to help them? No. They grumble. And I want you to think about that word for a minute. If you've ever been in a community, and that can be a church, it can be a workplace, it can be a society, it can be any kind of thing. Have you ever seen people grumble? They always do it in the shadows. You know, I've seen it before I became a pastor in a workplace, and it would happen around the water cooler or you know, your coffee break. And the people just begin to moan and grumble. This isn't right. That isn't right. And that stuff just rumbles. And even if you're not involved with that, when you keep hearing people do that all the time, it begins to sour your own self about that place. Grumbling comes out of an attitude. How we handle adversity or success is built on the attitudes that we have developed in our lives. And by the way, God gave them water here. He performs a miracle and turns this poisonous water into what the Bible would call sweet water. He cares for them. Let's take another stop. This is from the next account in their journey to the promised land. It's chapter 16. And it says, the whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, which was between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. Hold that. So they are 45 days away from walking through that tremendous water miracle. They are about a month past the time when God took poisonous water and made it healthy and drinkable. And in the desert, the whole community, everyone say that word with me, grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If we had only died in the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out into the desert to starve us, this entire assembly, to death." Now, do you hear what's going on there? I mean, first of all, what they're saying really isn't true. It's a characteristic. You know how we always have this temptation of remembering things better than they were? If I only had a boss who knew how to manage. And you hear it going around the room. You know, maybe he's not the best boss, or she's not. Speak to him. But it's that grumbling in the shadows that just destroys the fabric of any organization or company or group of peoples. And it grows out of an attitude that says, what? Maybe I should get better. I'm entitled. I'm privileged. Who knows where that ugly attitude grows from? I love the line. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. If you remember the story, they were oppressed. They were working from sun up to sundown trying to make bricks. It was not a happy life. They said, "God, get us out of here." But they remember it as if it was some idyllic life. Grumblers do that. You know, they create some imaginary world as if that's the way it should be, because that's how they should be treated. And then they poison other people with their talk in the shadows. They misrepresent the past. Let me just say up front, in any organization, grumbling is toxic. It is absolutely toxic. God has to deal with the grumblers. And just so you know, in answer to this grumbling, God gives the Israelites manna. Now, we don't really know what manna is, but every morning they would get up, and as the dew lifted off the ground, there would be these white flecks like seed or grain that they could turn into food. Every morning they were given that for 40 years. So even though they were grumbling, God still said, "Hey, I'll take care of you." I wish I could say that Israel learned its lesson and stopped grumbling, but they never did. I won't walk you through it all, but in the next chapter, they're thirsty again. What do? Grumble. Fast forward a year, and they're at Sinai. They've received the written law of God. They saw amazing miracles there. They've had manna every day. They didn't have to work for it. It was just given to them as if the flour for their daily bread arrived at the door every morning. And what do they do again? In Numbers 11, we're told, "Now the people complained about the hardships in the hearing of the Lord. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost.'" Baloney. "We also had cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." They complained. They grumbled. I could go on and on to Numbers 14, Numbers 16, Numbers 17, Deuteronomy 1. They grumbled, they grumbled, they grumbled. They developed an attitude of grumbling. And it cost them. ended up spending 40 years in the desert. They wouldn't have had to. Because why? They grumbled. And when God said, I'm going to take you into the land, they said, oh, we can't do that. Attitude is huge in a person's life. If you've ever been around grumblers, if you've ever been around people who work the shadows and develop dissent, if you've ever seen that at play, you know what I mean. It is toxic. Well, if we're going to align our hearts with God, then folks, we have to examine our own attitudes. We have to look at ourselves and say, what is the attitude that I carry, that I march through life building my reaction to the things that happen, good or bad, upon? And for that, I'd like to give us one brief positive picture. And that's from Jesus in the New Testament. We've already read a word from Philippians in the very beginning where it says our attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. Well, I want to show us one other picture. This is Matthew chapter 20. And again, the setting. The disciples are kind of in a little row right now, because a couple of them dared to go to Jesus and ask Jesus for like those special places of honor when he comes in his kingdom. James and John did that. In fact, they had their mother do it. Don't mess with a Jewish mom, you know. And what happened is all the other disciples got ticked off that James and John got to Jesus first, because they all wanted those seats of honor. And they began to get angry with each other and get indignant with each other. And the attitude within them, the attitude of we want to be the best, we want to be this, we want to be that, we want to be over you, began to rise up with them. But Jesus nipped it in the bud right away. And this is what he said. Jesus called them all together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, check your attitude, guys. I don't want my followers, my people, to be about who can be on top of the heap, who can climb over whom to get what. I want us to have an attitude of serving. I want us to express an attitude of humility that helps other people. That doesn't become a part of the problem, but becomes a part of the solution. I want you to be like me and Jesus, the very Son of God. The one who left thrones in heaven, however you picture that, in order to become a human in the first place, came here to serve. I don't think it's a mistake that God orchestrated Mary and Joseph to a stable to have Jesus born. I think that was a statement by God, by Jesus himself, who said, from the very moment of my first human breath, I did not come for privilege. I came to serve. What's the attitude underneath that? It's an attitude of humility. Humility doesn't get walked over. Humility is strength under control. It's an attitude of service. It's the one who says, I'll pick up the piece of paper that the woman leading worship dropped for her. Did you see that? Alex, maybe you didn't see it. Just picked it up, didn't say anything, laid it down. It's the kind that serves rather than sitting there watching a person go, what happened to my notes? It's those little things. It's the kind of person that says, I seek the best of other people. I've been in that toxic work environment, and you know what? The managers aren't always the best. But grumbling about it at the water cooler, talking about it at break time, doesn't do any good except poison everybody else. The brave person might go and talk to the manager. You might get cut down. You know, that might happen. But you're not going to become a solution finder if you grumble. You're going to become a problem finder. And most places will eventually cut you loose if they can. You know, it's that seeking the best of others rather than self. So how do we get this kind of attitude? How do we make the transfer from those bad attitudes, which seem to be so easy, to a helpful attitude? Well, I've given us the roadmap before. I'll give it quickly again. I think each person, we need regular and planned times of self-evaluation against God's Word. And as needed, as it grows out of that, then that's where confession and repentance come in. When I'm not following like Jesus said, I've got to admit that to God and to myself and ask God's help to change. I find those trusted friends, maybe it's a mentor, maybe it's a friend, invaluable. Because often I don't see those attitudes in my life because they're just a part of the fabric of my life. But if I trust somebody, if I believe that they really want the best for me as I want for them, then I'll hear it from them when they say, hey, dude, what's going on here? You know, this isn't the you I'm used to seeing. And they can help me see who I really am. You know, it's kind of like in the morning when I get out of the shower. If I were to shave right away, I'd be a mess because, you know, the shower's all foggy. And sometimes the friend can just kind of wipe the fog away that I don't see in my life so I can groom properly. And sometimes the issues within us are bigger than we can handle. They really are bigger than we can handle. It could be some sort of addictions. It can be things that have come down from our family. You know, we've been nurtured in this entitlement or whatever you want to call it. And we need, you know, professionals who can help us, counselors who can get us through, and prayer ministry to break the chains that bind us. You know, we have an incredible prayer ministry here, and we have some incredible counselors in the community who can really help people deal with those things that are bigger than we can handle on our own. We really can change and grow and become better folk if we listen to God's remedies. Most of us in this room were not Boy Scouts, have not been Boy Scouts. But I put that Scout law up there again. I was never really a Boy Scout. I tried it for a year. But as I look at that list, I see traits of a person I'd like to hang around with. That's the kind of person I would be glad to call a friend. That would be the kind of person that I would love, you know, to hire, you know, if you knew that. I mean, those are good traits. And if you read between the lines, you get those traits when you work on the positive attitudes underneath that would allow you to be courteous even when that person is obnoxious and in your face. Or to be kind, who takes that extra step to help somebody simply because it's the kind thing to do. And that's the kind of life God would have all of His followers live. Let's pray. God, thank you for the example of Jesus, who, when he came to earth, did not even consider equality with you, Father, something to be grasped, but humbled himself, became born, and took on the life of a servant, so that he could lead us back to you. Lord Jesus, help us to develop those attitudes which will give us a life foundation that is good and trustworthy and loyal, helpful and friendly. Lord, the world could use a bit of courtesy and kindness these days. Obedience and cheerfulness. Lord, help us, I pray, to be thrifty and brave, clean, and of course, Lord, to be reverent towards you and towards the world you created. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.